Thanks for listening to Outcast World. You lock your front door, don't you? You wouldn't go out and leave the front door open. Well, that's essentially what you're doing when you're not using a VPN. Right now, your data is being tracked, stored, and sold by loads of people. For a lot of people that are listening to this show, that is not just annoying, it can also be very risky. NordVPN fixes it. It's fast, it's reliable, it's number one for consumers, and it takes less time to set up than ordering a takeaway. Outcast World listeners can get NordVPN for under £3 a month. That is up to 75% off. Just go to outcastworld.net. The link's at the top. Turn it on. Forget about it. Make yourself safer online with the number one NordVPN for under £3 a month at outcastworld.net.
On today's episode...
My friends in Los Angeles, they're Mexican, they're terrified. My friend's mum got traced for like four blocks. She's been an American citizen from birth.
Canada-Russia final showcasing the two most talked about prospects in the world. Canada's Shane Hollander.
Shane Hollander, I wanted to introduce myself.
Okay.
And Russia's Ilya Rozanov.
You're an awesome player to watch.
Yes.
Ooh. Very good at hockey.
The best, probably.
We'll be seeing each other a lot.
Yeah, Boston and Montreal play against each other often.
Roz, you gotta see this.
He's like a huge movie star.
Are there any gay hockey players?
None that have said it publicly.
No. There was a reaction downstairs in the transfer department.
It was for everybody.
Queer politics, sex, and culture. Outcast World.
You know what? I was scrolling, innocently scrolling, and I seen this arse getting fucked.
Oh.
That was you?
Yeah.
And then I was sat on the couch next to Steve, and he went, oh, that's Topher. I was like, oh, and I've never looked.
I love
how
I'm recognisable that way.
I know that ass. And I've never... Yeah, I've never gone back and watched like the whole video. I don't know how I'd feel.
Yeah, I find it a bit strange seeing my friend's sex tapes. I try to avoid it.
Sex tape, I love that.
Yeah, it sounds more elegant now.
It does, doesn't it? It takes me back to the days of Paris Hilton. Nick, we've got you on because there's something we do need to talk about, and it's one of the biggest shows on telly that Topher's not watching.
Yeah, I'm going to learn today. I haven't watched it.
What? I finished it now.
Do you know why? I'm rewatching Real Housewives of New York from the beginning, so I'm really balls deep in that.
When are you not balls deep? That's the deal.
So tell us, what's the what is the appeal for heated rivalry for you? What is it?
Oh, so you call me for faggotry this evening. That's what this phone call is about. You call me for faggotry.
Yeah.
Is that what you want? Is that what you need? Hey, good company, honey. Well, besties, as you know, I am a huge fan of shows that
have
talks about
gayness,
queerness, and loads of sex. Now, if you're looking for a show about hockey, you're in the wrong place.
But it is about hockey.
There is no scoring apart from in the bedroom in this show. Let me tell you something. I have felt three sets of emotions while watching Heated Rivalry, the biggest show right now. I felt horny, sad, and depressed in one episode. How is that possible? No, I'm not gonna lie to you. Jacob Tierney, whoever you are,
he's
bestie,
the creator.
Do you know this series takes 6 months to film?
Did it?
By the way.
Didn't know
yes,
that.
They turned out around quick time. And for the quality of... And I've been funny. We have seen queer shows in the past before. We've seen Pose. We've seen Queer Eye. We've seen... Looking,
Watermelon and
Cucumber.
Was that the Russell T Davis thing?
Yeah, with the golf club. Don't watch it. Yeah. It's horrible.
Is it Russell? Yeah, when the straight guy.
When my friends,
trigger warning is a lot.
When my friends watched it, you know, I have a reputation of like being with straight guys. One of my friends, my colleague at the time, Bev, she watched it and she came into work crying. Started talking to me and started crying. She goes, "Stop sleeping with these men who are straight. You're going to get killed."
Oh, so someone get battered with a golf club?
Yeah, I guess we just spoil it. But yeah, so he brings a straight guy home, and then the guy just swings a golf club into the back of his head
and kills him.
I don't want to ruin it for you.
I'm never going to watch it now.
No, he doesn't die.
He doesn't. But that is quite a common thing for someone to get trayed home and then they just fucking murder them. That is a thing.
No.
But not in Heated Rivalry.
No. Now, I know a lot of... I know for a fact that this show was made. I know for a fact this show was made for the straight woman who, you know, fantasize about these things. Because as you know, straight women love to watch gay porn. It's been a known fact.
Yeah, I've got a few female subscribers.
They do. And just like, we love it. They're just into it. Now, keep in mind, right, when the show first started, I illegally streamed it because I didn't have, it was not Now TV yet. Sorry to say. No one said, I did not have Sky, and I will not pay for Sky because I am a immigrant and I can't afford it. Now, I personally felt like a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, it's just another white cast, straight men. Now, I get it. I get that we want diversity. We get it. But baby, now, sometimes let's just enjoy the show.
Are they straight, though? Are they like, straight, the actors? All of them? Most of them must be.
TBA. But I don't know about you, Topher. Have you ever had a romance coordinator on scene with you?
No,
by chance?
No.
This is why I'm getting
just,
to that topic.
Just me
okay.
and my mind, my mental health issue.
The cat.
Yeah, my cat.
Now, I am...
Rio comes over for a hug every
No, month. I am pretty sure their romance coordinator, whoever is on thing, must have a hard time because let me tell you something, those sex scenes felt a little bit too real.
I've not seen
I
sex
wanna watch
that real.
It. I feel like I should have watched it as homework.
Yeah, well, I did because I was forced to watch it, and then when I was watching it, I was like, I'm not going to lie, the sex is it's not too graphic, but certainly that first bit where the Russian guy's in the shower and he's having a wank, I'm not going to lie, there was a reaction downstairs in the trousers department.
For everybody. You know what's interesting? And this is why I'm going to circle back to Rozanov, who is the character who I love, the Russian guy.
Okay.
I felt connected to him because I know what it's like to grow up in a country where you can't be accepted for being gay. And, you know, he was still figuring out who he is and stuff. Now, so far, what I've learned in the 6 episodes is sometimes shows just comes along and it's not even about the message, it's about how the characters portray each of us in different parts in our sexual life, our coming out, our finding out who we are, and our realizing that we want to be this person. So that's why that was my take from the show. A lot of people took away, oh, this is boring, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you guys are privileged white men who have never had the fact of coming out so loosely. That's the problem here. And people are like, oh, well, you know, I never had this. That's fine. Because you had a different path to walk on. But a lot of people could connect to this story because a lot of us got outed. I don't want to out the story, but in one of the episodes, one guy, his dad finds out and he didn't even tell him. And, you know, I remember that realization, people finding out. It really shuts your soul down.
What I thought was these actors who are in their 30s, and it kind of allows you to tell a little more sex than if it's like people who are 18 or something. Yeah, but that gives my life at 16.
I don't want to see 20 something year olds have sex.
But these guys are like 30 odd.
Go watch Heartstopper for that. Go watch
Heartstopper for that shit. The thing is with that, you've got to focus on the romance, but this they can get in there and do. Like, what's his name? I can't remember the Russian's name again. Say it again. Ilya Rozanov.
Is he the blonde or the brunette?
He's the blonde one. Yep. And one line where you don't see it, but he's slapping his dick about in the shower. And there's another one where he goes,
of course.
Don't worry, it will fit. And you're like, okay.
I know it will.
Yeah. And then, you know what's interesting? The fact that he knew for a fact that Kyle, the other guy, was in this thing. But the fact that he took the dumb top character instantly, I was like, oh my God.
And that comes all the way through, doesn't it? I got that. The Russian guy is dumb top, but in the end, I feel like instead of, you don't feel like you're seeing two sportsmen. By the end of it, you feel like, I felt like when they sat there in front of parents, I felt like everyone was looking at me at 15, 16.
Oh, so Queer as Folk effect. Remember when we all watched that?
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, shit.
Which version? Funny story.
Which
I got
Queer
fed the American version. I got fed the American version because I wasn't in the UK. And I didn't only realize that Cruise, the club I go to, was based on Babylon from back in the day, which is fucking wild.
When did you first see Queer as Folk? Because for me, it was... I don't know how old you are. You don't have to say.
No, I'll tell you. I'm 36.
So I'm 37. So I watched it when the L Word. I used to watch Queer as Folk as the L Word back in the day.
They were from that same era when they're in America. Because I like the American Queer, right? Without Gail, the main guy, Gail.
Oh, spit in my mouth.
For me, it was 1998 when Queer as Folk came on Channel 4, being like sitting in the front living room. And my dad coming in was like, what are you watching this shit for? I'm like, you'll find out.
But you know, Topher, I have a question for you because this is, I know you haven't watched Heated Rivalry yet. and I know you were getting to it.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it tonight.
Do you remember any time in your coming of age where you were like seeing someone and it was all very fresh and new and it was all like, oh, giddy, 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 but it was always the fear of also being caught was there. Like, do you have that moment?
There's a council estate next to me called the Ferrier Estate. It's now been demolished. And I had a thing with a local like herbalist dealer, let's put it that way. And we used to sneak in and there was a certain lift I could go into because no one used to get into it because it stunk of piss. So that was my romantic the piss entrance. Lift. Yeah.
I love that.
But it was really like nervous because he'd have to like.
What's growing flourish? You'd like it.
And I'd
make
have
sure
to.
Make sure you're the piss entrance. I mean, that would be like, so confusing.
But I'd like run down the hallway because he'd signal me.
Really?
Yeah.
So what would happen then?
Wow.
Like,
you were into.
He'd just lean his head around and go like.
Wow.
I love that. It's like something off a film.
You were into piss and play from a young age, huh? Look at you go.
Entry level.
Look at you go.
It was so exciting. I felt like such an adult.
How old were you?
16.
Good.
16. But I wasn't having anal. I was just doing other stuff.
I'm thinking back to some of the stuff I was watching on Heated Rivalry. Well, it's very difficult to kind of, for a straight audience and for women as well, to really represent what queer sex is. But there's a lot of kind of like heterosexualizing what's going on. Like, let's get side on and kiss each other. There's a lot of like simulated dick sucking and just the things that I remember when you first tried sex as a gay man. You don't go straight in with the bumming, do you? Did you?
No.
Nick, did you go straight in with bumming?
I think he did.
Question to Manchester.
No.
Manchester calling.
Okay, so my first experience as a queer boy back in the day was I was in Scouts.
Oh, fucking
hell. How old were you?
My first experience that I was... Right, okay. Can I be so honest, right? No, I was probably like... I'm pretty sure I was 12.
Fuck off.
And before Tommy Robinson jumps on this, how old was the other guy?
Colin was like a year older than me.
Yeah, so it was, yeah.
But I could use that dead name because they've transitioned. I don't know their real name now because I don't live home. But back then their name was Colin, but that's a dead thing now. So I couldn't tell you what their name is now because they have transitioned. But right. I was in Scouts and my first experience was because Colin's parents used to leave out. He had three brothers and they used to leave out the DVDs, not DVDs, the VHS. And they had like those big Russian women with big hairy minges being shagged by these big white cocks.
And
I
was
like, oh, I don't know how he found it. It was like, it was a video. And I was like, oh, okay, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And me was like, oh. And then imagine like seeing that at a young age. And then you're all just like, ooh, I want to touch you here. Ooh, I want to touch you there. And we didn't know what we were doing.
When I first seen porn, I think I was about the age of 12. I'm not going to say where, because I'm embarrassed people, but I seen porn, right? And all I'd thought to that point, I thought that porn was like women in swimsuits, but wearing swimwear. I thought that's what people bought in Playboy. Really? So I picked up this fucking magazine and there's a woman like sat there and she's pulled her flaps open. And I was like, fuck it. I was mind blown. I had to put it down.
Yeah, because when you're a kid, I think when you're a young guy, especially your idea of a vagina is just like a slit. You're
just
not,
a little slit.
Especially back in the 90s, you didn't know about lips and the labia minora and majora and clitoral hood. You just saw like because I thought it was just like, you know, like a front bum, because that's what it looked like.
Well, we call it the front bum, don't
but
we?
But when you're a kid, that's your idea of it. Because if you've seen your classmates naked or whatever, which does happen when you're a kid, it looks like. And then suddenly, when you realize that women mature, it's different. Well, for some women anyway. And I remember seeing lips, and I was like, oh my god, I didn't know it looked like that.
I was fascinated. I'm very gay, but I wanted to explore.
Oh,
I didn't. I was really
off by it. There is some lips I've seen recently that I'm just like, ooh, scary. I wouldn't call
women
her name.
Lips.
She and that bus. I've seen that the other day. I was like, ooh, scary.
There's loads of that's a big topic of conversation about women getting like vagina plasty and like to get the lips taken in to look like porn pussy and stuff.
But what does porn pussy look like then?
It's usually not like quite small labia lips, like quite.
Like
you know,
small, not like massive.
But like there's a big topic about like the pressure on women to have like this perfect.
Nice minge.
I remember the first porn I saw, and of course this is the first porn I ever saw. It was Rocco Siffredi, and he was fucking women up the arse, then spraying champagne up their arse, and then fucking the champagne in.
Oh, that get you drunk.
So that was my introduction to sex, explains.
That's quite. Yeah.
I thought it was hot.
Oh my god!
I've done that.
Have you?
It does get you tipsy as well.
You put anything up there that. Nick. So, yeah, watching He's a Driver retook you back to coming out. For those people who don't know...
Yeah, it did.
There's people joining the show all the time. But remind people about your background, you know, all of that kind of coming out. But just, like, we don't have to go into loads of details, but it will lead us to something else.
So, as you might know, I am a Caribbean girl. I was born in the lovely Twin Island of Trinidad and Tobago, which... sadly has gone back to going back on their laws about homosexuality, LGBTQ plus laws. Because, you know, I have the neighbouring islands, which is Barbados sort of to the left and Venezuela to the right. And as you know, there's a lot of conflict happening right now with that neighbouring country. And even though I am a, you know, born Trinidadian, I do have Venezuelan heritage because of my dad being from Spain and because the route that he came through was Venezuela, which is, was also connected to Trinidad back in the day. So as much as it's, a lot of people don't know the history of these things, but the Caribbean is very much like your old best friend Anne from down the road who you never met, but you know who she is. Yeah. So all these islands are very much connected. And even though in times of need, they tend to come together. In recent times, due to politics and stuff, they've kind of like slipped away. But I have been very much tuned in about the situation back home, which is, as you know, as you might know, conflict here and there, blah, blah, blah.
Trump's attacked Venezuela. But I want to... like, abducted the president.
Yeah.
And have stolen all the oil. And he's now the president of Venezuela.
Now, a couple of months ago, Trump's one of the vessels, the carriers and stuff, was on between the border between Trinidad and Tobago and Venezuela. Trinidad was like, why is this here? Blah, blah. They don't want to get involved. So Venezuela turned to Trinidad, was like, hey, you guys need to like get involved because we don't want this here. And Trinidad was like, we're not getting involved. No, this has been something that's been happening for a very, very long time. However, due to the fact that people were so, you know, the news was flooded about this and that and this and that and, you know, Epstein and all that stuff. There's so much cards that were being played here that sadly that news was just something that wasn't on anyone's radar. Now, when Trump decided that he wanted to, you know, bomb this place, and the worst thing about it, now keep in mind, he wanted to get this man because one, everyone knows that this is not about ownership. This is about oil.
Mm-hmm.
Plain talk, bad manners.
Venezuela's there is no, got the biggest reserves in the entire world, bigger than Saudi Arabia, apparently.
Insane. Insane. And keep in mind that this has been part of their culture. These people are protective about what they want because they just want to live their life doing their own thing. This orange dinosaur in a fucking heritage suit want to show me like, what I want to do. Honey, this is not your space.
Yeah.
This is not your space. These people, this fucking Lorax in this, Dr. Seuss Lorax in the fucking, the White House talking about, oh, well, I just want to make sure people are taken care of. Baby, you don't give a fuck about nothing. You just want to have something to say. Well, we have the biggest oil reserve. These people are minding their own business. The Caribbean has been untouched for years because they're just living their life and they're happy-go-lucky. But you now want to be like, well, I want to get this. Yes, we all know this president. Don't get me wrong. This prime minister, president from Venezuela, Maduro, horrible man. Horrible man. Let's not forget that. Yeah, of course. But so did Trump. Well, clearly. But in that same breath, these people have been literally living their lives so comfortably. And yes, even though they were under a dictatorship, you are not telling me that we are sitting down and watching as this fucking man literally kidnap a man of a country and take him to trial him? Stop. So you're telling me that we're okay with this? Now, what saddened to me is that people was like, oh, Maduro's out of power. No, honey, that country is now literally not a safe haven anymore for themselves. Anything could happen in that moment. And up to this day, what was wild to me is the fact that when this whole situation happened at 2 a.m., Trump tweeted, oh, I don't think anyone was hurt. People died, keep in mind.
40. In fact, there might have been a couple hundred people killed. And 40 Cubans were killed.
And they were like, no big deal. No big deal. These were innocent bystanders literally sleeping in their homes that got killed. And what is wild to me is the fact that the Caribbean is not known for blood being shed like that. Yes, they have crime. Yes, they have their own shit to do with, but this is terrible.
So, So the Americans have got previous in the Caribbean, Cuba, obviously, all the sanctions on it since, which he's turned up for no real reason. Cuba and Venezuela are like friends, so that's where there was some Cuban troops in Venezuela. Panama in 1989, they invaded and they took away the leader of Panama in chains. Grenada in 1983. I know this because I was in Grenada, and one of the people that was locked up was one of my husband's family, who I think died in prison. For being a socialist. So when the government was overthrown, I've been to the place where the Americans landed. Is it what's the Grenada? What's the capital? I can't remember now. Is it Georgetown?
Georgetown,
yeah, because Georgetown isn't that the capital of Barbados as well?
I think it is Georgetown, to be fair.
And the Americans just landed. Few people lost their lives. Lots of people were round up, thrown into prison. The Americans only left when they were given, like, well, what kind of government are you going to have? And the commonality between all of them is dictator.
Georgetown.
Georgetown, Barbados, isn't it?
It's similar with the George.
The commonality
is
they're always left wing. And they always reject the Americans kind of asserting kind of like imperial influence over them. I mean, look at him now. He thinks that the Caribbean is his. He thinks Grenada is his. He thinks that whole section of the world is his. Venezuela, scary. And it's mad as well, like, you looking back, you're from there. Your dad was kind of Venezuelan. And yeah, it must be really worrying. Just like knowing what the fuck's next. Tell you what else worries me at the moment, and that's Trump, the government in the States, who turn around and go, the Iranians, if you kill any Iranians... We'll send military action in to fix the whole thing in Iran, which I'm sure will be as simple as that. The same time that the Americans are literally... is this an hour ago? Someone got shot in the face?
A 21-year-old's been shot in the face by... I don't think it was a bullet. I think it was like a rubber bullet, and it's blinded him. There's a 17-year-old they dragged out of Target, dragged him to Walmart 8 miles away, left him on the floor.
Beat him up?
Yeah.
And then threw him out?
Bloodied. I mean, obviously, they brutally murdered a woman last week. They're harassing neighbours. My friends in Los Angeles, they're Mexican, they're terrified. My friend's mum got traced for, like, 4 blocks... She's been an American citizen from birth.
What the fuck do we do? What the fuck do we do? Like, my nightmare is that the people closest to me, you know, my husband, even you, Nick, consider, what if we end up with a fucking rotten Farage government who are saying, we're going to have the British version of ICE. This is the same Nigel Farage who's now got 30 to 40 people who went to school with him all saying...
It's wild. Honestly, he's wild.
I can just see in his eyes there's a cruelty there. There's a real vicious nastiness. He's a social climbing piece of shit.
Well...
He's a Trump light.
I'm not being funny. Have you all even seen the fucking logo thing?
UKIP, but UKIP are positioning themselves.
Yeah, well, they're all dressed as bad.
I think that UKIP is obviously doing that and positioning itself further to the right than Reform or the Tories. And the way they're doing that is by putting a fucking Nazi logo on there.
Yeah, and they're like, oh no, it's not a Nazi logo. It's like a certain cross. I'm like, you know what you're doing. That's
exactly
not the right. Like, I would have so much more respect for the right if they just have the balls to say, like, this is what it is. They
all use mustard.
Oh, it's not this. Actually, I'm just referencing. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Just say what you really feel.
Nick, so if we end up, even the Conservatives are saying they're going to do it, they want it as some sort of UK ICE force. And if they're going to be like that, then what ICE are doing, like you said, they're going into Target and just dragging out anyone who doesn't look white. Mexicans, anyone. What the fuck?
I know. The sad thing is, the thought is already scary, but the idea of it coming reality is so close to the breadline, it's wild.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm sorry, but it's like everyone's like, oh, well, you know, the whole digital ID thing is like stopping. Yeah, of course it's being stopped because fucking Prince Charles said he didn't want it either. So if they want to start digital IDs, who says that they don't want to start the UK version of ICE? It will happen.
And there's going to be so many, like if you thought Windrush, all the stuff like that.
They're not going to be prepared for what the kickback is going to be in the UK, though, because we're not like Americans.
No, we're not like that.
There will be people ripping police officers off of people.
So I think we're in the UK.
Myself included.
Yeah, I feel like that.
And I'll say that on camera, I don't give a fuck.
We're racist in the UK, but we're a different kind of racist to the Americans, aren't we? I feel like in America there's a more overt kind of like KKK kind of vibe going on not too far from the surface. In this country it's a kind of like, it's a kind of like London's really unsafe. Oh, really? Why?
Really? Because we've just had our safest year in a decade on record.
You see this? London, the scariest place. It's just that it's, yeah,
and people are still arguing and the replies, oh, that's bullshit, he's cooking numbers. I'm like, you just don't want the facts. This is the problem of the right. Just say what you want to say.
Yeah.
Wouldn't...
I say it with your chest, too.
Just be brave. Like, at least say what you want about preachy left-wingers. At least we say what we fucking want to say. Yeah. I think Nigel Farage is a racist cunt. I think that.
Yeah.
I would say it to his face. I would say it on this podcast. I would say
you
it
have.
To...
You've just said it.
I'd say it to Keir Starmer. I don't give a fuck. Like, he's a racist cunt. Everyone who supports him is racist. And whether you want to believe that or not.
And they will continue to be racist, you know what I mean? These bitches are not changing. These bitches are not changing their demographic at all, because the thing is, right, what I've learned in this country is that certain people of a certain demographic want to have that power. But baby, when that power gets to you, what happens? What do you do with it?
And what about when you've got the people that you're aiming it on at the moment? So at the moment, it's anyone who's not ethnically white. Trans people, who's next? You
know, it'll be single mothers on benefits and Eastern Europeans. They will not, and then it'll just be like gays. It's just going to circle the boat, and then it'll come straight around to black people again, straight to Muslims again, and it'll just keep going around and around, and because they're never happy, these people. They never succeed in government. They're right-wing governments are financially just hideous. Look at America.
Well, they always fuck it as well, don't they? For the people who are meant to know how to do things properly, they always end up in a heap load of fucking shit, don't they?
And that's why I don't understand fiscal conservatism. I'm voting for this. Okay. It will come crashing down again, and we'll have to repeat the process and just fucking run through these same loops again and ruin people's lives, murder people, destroy businesses, ruin people's dreams and ambitions because you don't like seeing a brown person on the bus.
Yeah.
Don't hide behind fiscal conservatism. That drives, that turns my bones into
my body. People says, it's just because it's a lie.
But also, before I go, because I need to touch on something very, very important, and I feel like it's wild to me that we've seen this happen so freely, and people act like it was like, oh, are you guys shocked? This whole Grok and Elon Musk thing.
The sexualized images of children. Yeah.
God.
Did you see, what's his name, Farage and thingy, what was his name, I've seen him, I used to see him at work, Richard Tice, sat there in the House of Commons. As soon as they started to talk about women and children being undressed by a fucking pedo app that's run by the world's biggest man, they're laughing. What the fuck are you laughing
at? But they want to protect women and children, right? That's why they want all the immigrants.
Only from migrants.
You know what's crazy? The fact that everyone's like, they won't use AI for war. Have you seen the world we live in now?
I mean, deepfakes have been a thing for about almost a decade as it is. Now we've just made it 100 times easier.
Shocking. It's worse. And the fact that not now. I mean, I've seen a few deepfakes in my time. I wouldn't say I paid for it, but it's upset. I believe you.
Nick Bean, it's been lovely to chat. Thanks for joining us live from Manchester.
Of course. I know from the 0161. Love you both very much.
Let's go to the presidential suite table. We'll smash a window.
Before I log off, don't forget I am in London next week, Friday. Because we are going to Sebastian's party called Physical Education in London. It's a brand new night.
He's doing a party at my shop on Saturday. A pre-party.
Yes, I've heard.
Okay.
Boys, free drinks, just music and Soho.
What day is that?
Yeah,
Saturday 17th, right?
Okay.
You know what? I wish someone will interview me as a queer podcaster / DJ collective from Manchester on some podcast about girls. Is it girls, or queers? Fuck it.
I love how subtle and elegant.
Nick's talking about the other show that I work on, which is very different to this one. The owner of it. What did he say to me the other day? Oh, you on social media at the moment? You're very loose.
I mean, has he seen your hole?
Everyone on Twitter has.
Get that
Crisco, honey.
Right.
Not the Crisco.
It makes really good fried chicken.
It does.
It really does. Morley's never.
There's a guy on my phone saved as 10 inches Morley's.
Why?
I used to eat meat about 5 years ago, I wasn't actually buying chicken, I was buying chips. And this guy came up to me and we got chatting and flirting, and he gave me his number, and he saved himself in my phone as 10 inches Morley's.
10 inches Morley's?
Yeah, wait, I'll see if I still got it.
So give him a bell, get him on the
screen here. Yeah, see if it will fit. Yeah, look.
Oh, there it is. Show it.
Oh, wait, the number's on it.
Oh my God. Take it out.
Real name, Darren.
A value meal.
Right, Nick, lots of love. We'll see you soon, love.
Love you, bitches.
Bye.
Stay with me. This is incredibly simple. If you've ever used Grindr,
Googled something rather personal or posted anything political, your data is already being tracked and sold. Think about that. A VPN can make you a lot safer. NordVPN takes about 2 minutes to set up, one click to turn on, and it just runs in the background. There's no effort after that. It's consistently voted number one across a load of metrics for consumers. It's fast, it's secure, and there's no drop-offs. Outcast World listeners can get up to 75% off NordVPN right now, which brings it down to under £3 a month. Go to outcastworld.net. Top of the page, tap the link, then you're done. Outcastworld.net for up to 75% off NordVPN.